John Sugar is an L.A. private eye with a passion for classic cinema and a knack for vocation he explains with this motto.
I don't like hurting people. It's true. Finding people that are lost. Bringing them back to those that miss them. That part of the job I like. It's tough business. But steady.
John Sugar is portrayed by Colin Farrell. And as the series begins on Apple TV+, John Sugar's quarry is the missing granddaughter of a legendary Hollywood producer. Colin Farrell, who's pretty close to legendary himself, joins us now from Southern California. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Scott. It's good to see you, man.
Why did you want to play John Sugar?
Initially, because I heard it was shooting in Los Angeles. That was the initial attraction. Truly, I spend a lot of time, Scott, on the road and, you know, anywhere between 5 to 8 months of the year. And I have kids. And so it gets a bit, I feel a bit long in the tooth to be spending so much time away from home. So that was the initial attraction. And then when I read the material, I read the pilot, and it became apparent to me pretty quick that not only was it being set in Los Angeles, but if you've seen the show, Los Angeles is very prominent. It's very much a character and very much what John Sugar, the character, projects his idealism about the world and about movies and the kind of cultural importance of films through the lens of Los Angeles as a living, breathing, undulating city.
Mm. Help us understand the what amounts to the art house cinema he has playing in his head of classic film clips. And, I wonder if as a kid growing up in Castleknock, Ireland, you used to play film clips in your head too.
I did. They were a little bit more contemporary, the clips that I played in my head. They were a little bit more in the vein of the Back to the Futures and the ETs and, you know, the early Spielberg stuff, Jaws and Close Encounters. And but films have, as music also is for many of us, films have been a visual accompaniment and a psychological and emotional accompaniment for me through my life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, John Sugar, he has an innocence to him, a purity to him, and he leans into old films as kind of a reference for how the world works. And he just loves it as well. He's just charmed by the old world.
Look, he's not Philip Marlowe or Sam Spade. John Sugar, in one 15-minute span, he speaks Japanese, Arabic, and Spanish. He dresses in classy suits. He drinks $100 shots of whiskey without blinking. And by the way, he says he's metabolically incapable of getting drunk. He throws around the Benjamins, as we say.
Yeah, yeah.
High denomination bills. and he's fighting some kind of health challenge. Is he the real mystery here?
Yeah, there's obviously, Scott, there's the two mysteries at play. There's the case that he is, you know, as often happens in narratives born of the genre that this show explores, there is a case at the center of the show that begins to get under the protagonist's skin, and it begins to become threateningly more and more and more personal to his well-being, to his mental well-being, his emotional well-being, and his physical life. And then there is this parallel mystery, which is, who is this man and where does he come from, and why do the declarations he makes about not liking violence and not liking hurting people, but he's so proficient at it, apparently, from, you know, the opening scene in the show. All those questions. He was both, when I read him, Scott, a really vague character in regards to the information that I had on his background, and also very specific in regards to his proclivities and his abilities and his behaviors. So it was a bit of a mystery for me as well, because when we started filming, we really only had the first two episodes that were really marked out. And a lot of it was almost building a plane mid-flight, you know?
What was it like to work with Fernando Meirelles?
It's great.
Great Brazilian director. I think City of God is probably still his best-known film.
Did he do The Constant Gardener as well?
I believe he did, yes. One of my favorite films, too.
Fernando Meirelles was amazing. Amazing. Conventional reason could say, this story is set in LA. LA is a prominent character in the narrative, and we should have somebody who knows the city and understands. We had the total opposite. Fernando has, through his experience as a filmmaker over the last 30 years. He's visited LA from time to time and had a couple of screenings and a few interviews. He's never lived in LA. He doesn't understand the city. I'm living in LA 25 years and I don't understand the city. And I mean that as a compliment. But he came in with child's eyes and he was really, really curious. And he was really curious about the kind of chasm between those who have and those who don't, and the absolute kind of decadence and affluence of certain parts of the city and the kind of more working class, hard-boiled aspects of other parts of the city. And I just felt like I was on a journey of exploration with him. But within the structure that we had, it was as loose as it could possibly be. And Fernando was always saying, you know, he wanted it to feel like jazz, to feel as much like it was in the moment, as improvisational as it possibly could. And it felt like that. So he was wonderful, man. He was wonderful. Playful.
You've gone back and forth in much of your career between blockbusters and then artistic projects. Like maybe The Banshees of Inisherin, for which you were nominated for an Oscar. How do you decide what to do?
Depends, really. I have done, through the years, jobs that were predominantly, of course, for the money and to be able to provide and all that stuff. And I'm also fortunate enough, like a kind of fortune that is in a very, very, very low percentile, which is just having a bit of choice. It's not like I can do anything I want. There's plenty of directors and scripts that go to other actors, of course, before they come to me, and it'll always be that way. But I have a really lovely little bit of choice as well. You know, there are times where I have two or three things on the table, and that's kind of really uncommon. And it's something that is indefinable, really, Scott. You read something and honest to God, based on wherever you are on that day, the sleep you had last night, the relationships and how they're going in your life, wherever you are in life, you'll read something and it might not on the surface seem like it's reflective of anything that you can recognize you're dealing with in the present, but something about it will either irk you or provoke you or please you or make you uncertain or whatever it is. So it's that kind of thing, you know, it really is. And I love doing different things.
Do you carry a character around with you after you're done with a project? Do they become in a funny way?
A little bit. You know, if you're playing a character and you're doing it for, you know, 12 to 14 hours a day, 5 days a week for 3 months, you better be sure you wrap the gig and you say goodbye to the cast and crew on a Friday night. Mm-hmm. You don't wake up on Saturday morning not thinking of it or feeling it. If you've trained yourself to attempt to get close to another person's perspective or what you perceive another person's perspective, that character you're reaching toward would be, you're still looking at the world a little bit through that lens for a while, you know?
Colin Farrell plays and is John Sugar in Sugar on Apple TV+. Thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure talking to you, Scott.